Let me talk to the men out there listening real quick. Guys, are you suffering from erectile dysfunction, fatigue, decreased muscle tone, lack of energy, low libido, brain fog, sleep disturbances? Hey, low libido? Ask your girlfriend or wife. She'll let you know if you're suffering from that or not. That's sex drive. If you'll text my name, Clay, in all caps to 601-327-8550, 601-327-8550, Men's Health of Mississippi and the Clay Edwards Show are going to hook you up with a free testosterone screening. They're located in Madison, Mississippi at 120 Fountains Boulevard. You can check them out online, menshealthms.com. But one more time, text my name, all caps, Clay, to 601-327-8550 and get your free testosterone screening scheduled today. Enjoy the rest of this show. Shaka laka boom. You've tuned in to the Free Range Human Show of Choice, your daily dose of reality radio. It starts right now. This is the Clay Edwards Show. I'm, of course, Clay Edwards. We are live on 103.9 FM, WYAB. You already know. You already know. Again, your daily dose of reality radio. And that's what we're going to bring to you today, a little bit of reality. That's what we do around here. Today in the studio, I had to juggle my sponsorship stuff sometimes because when we ain't taking phone calls, I still got to make sure I get my sponsors in. So today's interview is brought to you by Mazda of Jackson. Guys, make sure you get over there to Mazda of Jackson today. Don't forget, every purchase, you get not one gift, but you get two. Every purchase comes with a 43-inch TV and a lifetime powertrain warranty. That's 200,000 miles, 300,000 miles, 400. You get the point. But you know what? It's a Mazda. You're probably not going to need that because those things are built like tanks. They're like old school Japanese or, you know, Asian-made vehicles. They just last forever. And look, here's the other thing. They got some special interest rates going this month. And I know interest rates are high. You know, your boy sold cars for a long time. And I remember last year, well, back in over the summer, just right before I got out of it, people with great, great credit, 740, 750 and above, were upset about having to pay 8% interest on a used car. Well, don't. Go get a new car. 1.9% for 36 months on 2024 CX-30 premiums. 3.9% for 60 months on a 2024 CX-5 Carbon Edition. And then you also get $750 APR cash. And again, the aforementioned lifetime powertrain warranty included at no extra cost, as well as a free 43-inch TV. And the other thing is, it's locally owned, it's locally operated. The owners literally sit on the desk. Chris and Cassidy Carr sit on the sales desk. They pencil all the deals, and you get one of their phone numbers with every purchase to call and discuss any issues or whatnot you may have, any questions, anything. You can cut the middleman right out at Mazda of Jackson. Check them out online, MazdaofJackson.com. Located right there on 55 at Briarwood, right there in the old Mercedes-Benz location. That's Mazda of Jackson. Hi, man. I've got a guy that I never really thought I'd have on the show this morning. we've gone round and round on the internet, you know, for about the last year. We've had our good times, man. It's all in fun. We got Fred Chambliss here in the studio with me. Fred, good morning.
Good morning to you,
man. I appreciate you getting up and coming out here. And let's do this today. Now, we're going to do a couple of things. We're going to have a little fun. We're going to talk about things that we've seen through our own lenses and stuff like that. You see Rankin County one way, I kind of see it another. And, you know, we just had some fun with that.
Right.
You know, but
right.
I think there's a serious conversation to be had there, too.
Exactly.
To better understand each other and kind of what we see. But the real kind of reason that you're here this morning is to discuss, you were the whistleblower on this federal Yazoo federal prison corruption deal.
Yes, sir.
And I read your interview last night with the Jackson Advocate, and I when I first discovered you, I kind of went through your Facebook page and saw some of your things you've done. I was like, there's really more to this guy than this. We'll have fun with this, but this guy's serious about this.
Yes.
And when you reached out to me, I was like, man, yeah, let's do it, brother. So tell people who you are and kind of give people just a quick summary of how you got to this point.
Yes, sir. First of all, man, Clay, I just want to thank you for allowing me on your platform, man, because I just felt like the conversation needed to be had, you know, between the blacks and the whites. And, you know, who's better to speak for your side than you, and who's better to speak for my side than me?
Hey, I issued the challenge the other day. I was talking about something. I finally said, you know, I'm really tired of having these conversations without somebody from the other side. And I'm going to, I don't think I've ever told anybody no that wanted to come on the show. It's just a matter. You got to get up and come do it.
Right, right.
You know, and, you know, be able to speak well enough to not cuss on the radio and a couple other things. Be able to keep your cool to have a heated conversation.
Man, that's me all day, man. I'm cool, calm, and collective, man. I love these type of conversations because people just need to know a different perspective, you know, from this side. And I've been through it all, you know. There's nothing I haven't been through. And the corruption, I'm in a room full of Trump right now. And, you know, a lot of people wouldn't probably want to come in here because they're like, man, this is a racist room.
Nothing racist. But, you know, racist about Trump.
Yeah. But man, like I say, I'm honored to be in your on your platform to have this conversation, man, have this dialogue, and I come in peace.
Touche.
Yes, sir.
Touche. I've never been rude to a guest, and I'm not going to start today.
Yes, sir. Yes,
you know,
sir.
Well, you know, here's the thing, Fred. After, I guess it started in 2015, right, when Trump came down that escalator, and I always say he tore a hole in the space-time continuum. You know, like, he ripped it, and the world ain't quite been the same for better or worse ever since. You know, I think we can all kind of agree on that. And the rest is somewhat history, but it created this strange relationship between blacks and whites.
It did.
Because it was automatically, Trump's a racist, and if you vote for Trump, you're a racist. That was coming from one side. And I'm like, well, hold on now. And I've stood by this. I'm like, can somebody tell me what he did? Because, you know, I was looking at the 30 years prior to that where black folks loved Trump. Uh-huh. You know, had him all in the songs, all up in the videos, all up in the movies. And then just like the second he said, I'm going to be a Republican, Klansman. You know, I'm like, well, hold on now. You know, I made a video about this and went viral last week and made a bunch of people mad at me when I asked black Gen Xers why they were so mad. And what I said in that video was simple. I said, man, y'all been co-signing on Trump for 30 years. And then you just tell me, nope, because I said so, he's racist. I'm like, well, hold on now. It's going to take a little bit more than because I said so. You know, so I'll just ask you, and we'll start here, I guess, since we're here. What was racist about Trump? What did y'all find racist? What did you find racist about Trump? Is there a thing he said? Is there something I missed?
It's been a little minute since Trump came in, but the few things I do remember with Trump was the Charlottesville incident. You had the good boys out there storming down with the lights called,
the tiki torches.
The tiki torches.
Now, but you know that whole thing, there's good people on both sides.
That's what your boy said, though. That's what he said.
They didn't give you all the context. It's been proven that was not a myth. Those words came out of his mouth. He was not talking about there was good white supremacists.
Uh-huh.
He's talking about there's good conservatives, good Democrats, you know, good people on the left and right. He was not talking about the people burning the place down. There's a whole more context to that. That actually got, debunked. They got debunked. I'll pull it up during the break, and we can dive back deeper into that on the other side. But that's the media.
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't blame you guys for thinking that, because if you only watch CNN, MSNBC, any of that stuff, that's what they're showing you.
So we saying Fox News is the truth?
No.
Okay.
But that particular incident was one that they were on the right side of. But no, I'm not a Fox News guy.
Okay.
I try to get my stuff from, you know what I really like to do? I like to get stuff from the left and the right and then make my own opinion.
Right.
You know, I think that's the best way to digest. Right. I don't need a moral compass. I know my moral compass. I don't need anybody to tell me how to feel, but I want the news over here, and I want the news over here, and I kind of weed out the biases.
That's me. That's me.
You know, like, so said to Trump, the Charlottesville thing, and what anything else?
And, you know, really, it all boils down to Trump lies. And he gets on TV, and he sits there and just act like he never did anything wrong. And, you know, dealing with liars, you know, if you tell a lie so long, it just becomes truth. Now, we got people who will sit up and act like Trump never had the people storm the Capitol. Like we didn't see that on TV. Like, we didn't see a whole bunch of white people storm the Capitol. That's what bothers me. And it's like if you watch the January 6th committee, they show the footage. You know, they show where he sat there and watched it. And Mark Meadows and all this inner circle, they told him, even his own son said, Dad, you got to stop this. You got to get out there and tell the people to stop it. He sat there and just watched as the ruckus continued to happen. And it's like, man, what did y'all see
Like, what were we watching? Were we watching the same thing? Like, did we not see those? Because let's be honest. Black Lives Matter. If Black Lives Matter would have stormed the Capitol, what would have happened, Clay?
Well, nothing. They burned all down. They burned
what?
The whole,
are you serious,
whole,
Clay?
They burned the whole country down and nothing happened.
Wow. So we're talking about storming the Capitol, though.
They stormed plenty of capitals. Did you not see what they did in Portland, Oregon?
I saw the federal
building over there. They stormed it for 2 straight months, and not a single person got arrested.
But did anybody get killed over there, though?
30, 40 black folks got killed all throughout the country during Black Lives Matter things.
Okay, what's the little white kid?
Our little shooter, Kyle Rittenhouse. Hero.
Yeah. Hero.
He killed a pedophile. You standing up for pedophiles?
No, now? No. I don't stand for no pedophile.
He killed a pedophile.
But you're saying he was allowed to cross state lines and go do the police job? That's what who made him the police?
He is. He's allowed to cross state lines with a gun. You're allowed to do that in America.
And run back home like he ain't do nothing. And did you see where he came up to the tanks, the police, and they just let him go like he didn't do nothing? Like, and then he's making around tours like they honoring this guy for killing two people.
Well, they should. He killed two pedophiles.
We ain't talking.
They were chasing after him
because he's running around with an AR, pretending like he's the police. If he would have stayed at home in the bed with his mama, he would have never been in that predicament.
Well, what if them Black Lives Matter protesters would just stayed at home in the bed with their mamas and not been on a burning down a city?
I don't agree with what they did. I don't agree with tearing down your own city. I don't agree with that.
You know my motto: F around, find out.
I believe in the same thing. I believe the same thing.
At the end of the day, do I think he shouldn't have been there? Of course. He's too young to be there.
Right.
But that's beside the point. Once you get put into that situation, two dudes chasing you, it's every man for himself, and they found the wrong little 15, 16-year-old that was a shooter. I mean, if you can just remove your biases from it and watch that whole thing just from a trigger standpoint and just the being able to aim and just the way he handled that gun, phenomenal. Phenomenal. It killed two pedophiles, two white pedophiles. Let us have our little white on white situation over here. That whole thing got twisted up because they said the media refused to call them white people. They said Black Lives Matter protesters insinuated that he killed two black folks and shot a third.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't black folks. That was some white pedophiles. They got to go meet their maker.
The world is
a better place without pedophiles.
I agree.
However we get there.
I dealt with them in the federal prison.
I bet you did.
Yeah, I did. And I know that's what we're here to talk about. If you wanted me to go forward with that, that's cool.
I'm enjoying this, man. We're having a good time.
Okay.
No, well, I love this stuff. I love being able to have the conversation because I think maybe there's some stuff that I'm blinded by. And maybe there's some biases you're blinded by.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's how we have a conversation.
Right, exactly. I agree. And so for the people who are listening right now, my name is Frederick Chambliss, a.k.a. I like to blow my whistle and introduce myself. I try to turn this into like a comedian thing to, you know, stand out, to let people know I am the whistleblower. When you see this black and white stripe, you know, the referee shirt and the whistle, is because I wanted to stand out. And when people see me, let them know that, hey, that's the whistleblower. And so why I'm here today is to talk about what's going on at the federal prison right now. Yep. And it's a lot of corruption.
Let's take our first break here.
Yes, sir.
When we come back, let's dive into it.
Yes, sir.
I'm excited about this. We got Fred Chambliss here in the studio. Guys, if you want to text in, you got any questions, let's keep it respectful this morning. For Fred, the Guns and Gear text line is 769-241-1944. Hour two, we may open up the phone line depending on where we're at. Maybe Fred can take some questions, I can take some questions, whatever. But right now, let's stick to the text line, 769-241-1944. Guns and Gear text line here live in the studio. Fred Chambliss on the Clay Edwards Show. Never thought it would happen. Here it is. We'll be right back on WYAB. Welcome back into the Clay Edwards Show here on WYAB. This segment brought to you by Bruce out at Eye Gear Optical right there on Highway 80 in Pearl, Mississippi. Hey guys, look, Eye Gear Optical is never going to just hand out a pair of glasses like a box of shoes. Bruce is always going to adjust your frames before taking measurements and then a second time after the lenses have been installed when you pick them up for a fine tune and a personalized custom fit. Look, now, Bruce is going to ask you a lot of questions. He wants to make sure he gets the best lenses with just the right amount of technology for all of your wants and needs. Bruce is also going to make sure you select the right frame for maximum comfort, durability, and style that fits your needs. Hey, look, Iger Optical is not an insurance because they want to deal with you instead of having to deal with your insurance company telling them how to take care of you. You got any questions? Let them know today. Iger Optical, they fit glasses to you for your lifestyle and your budget. Get your vision in high gear today. Open Monday through Friday, 10 to 6. Saturdays, 10 to 2. That's Eyegear Optical at 2630 Highway 80 East in Pearl, Mississippi. Check them out online, eyegearoptical.com. And you're probably going to work with a guy named Bruce. Bruce is the boss man over there. I love people who attach their name to their businesses. I think, you know, people want to build personal relationships, and I think that goes a long way. I like when somebody knows my name, and I think it's respectful to call people by their names. Speaking of which, we've got Fred Chambliss here in the studio. We had a little fun there in that first segment, laid a little foundation for you guys. Now we're going to actually talk about what we're here for today, and that is to expose corruption in the federal prison system right here in Mississippi and around the nation for that matter. It's oddly, Fred, it's been something I've kind of backed into being passionate about after interviews with, I told you off air, with the Tiger King, Joe Exotic.
Mm-hmm.
Thought that was going to be like this little fun ha-ha-ha interview, and it turned into a real serious conversation about, and I know these are two different topics. You have prison reform over here, then you have criminal justice reform over here, but I think they kind of intersect.
Yes, they do.
And it's been two things I've been really passionate about. And I think people will find it surprising that a lot of conservatives, Republican, Trump supporters, are very passionate about fixing this. Well, prisons need to be about actually reforming people, not just locking people up and giving them the opportunity to become better criminals. You know, and there's a lot of people that probably don't need to be in jail. There's a lot of people that probably need to be in jail. You know, so there's a big intersection there where all this kind of molds together. But tell people your story. Tell people how we got to this point, what they did, how they wronged you, how long you've been out of work. I was blown. You went, what, 7 months without a paycheck at one point?
Yeah. Yeah. In the beginning. So back in, you can read my story on the Jackson Advocate. But back in 2016, as I was 4 years in the Federal Bureau of Prisons, I wasn't working any overtime, and I used to hear the senior officers complain about not getting paid overtime on time. And then when I started working overtime, it became an issue of I wasn't getting paid just like the senior officers.
Are y'all hired through an agency, or are you actually a federal employee?
No, we're a federal employee. We hired through USAjobs.gov.
Okay.
Yes, sir. We're not I see you're talking about like the contractors and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Are y'all like a contractor through the government, or are you
actually directly through the government? Okay. Yes, sir. Directly through the government. Under the Department of Justice.
Okay, so it's Department of Justice messing up your money.
It's both.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's both. I'll put it that way.
At the end of the day, it's the government, not a third party.
Right. Okay. It's the government. It's all tied together. Yes, sir. So basically, I've always been one to speak up for myself. And when I got there and we used to have training every year, refresher training, and there'd be Q&A at the end of each week where the wardens would come in and you get to ask questions and they're supposed to answer them. But every time they come in after every year we train, I would ask a question and people would be like, man, why are you asking the warden that? You know, it's like there's this thing, you don't ask questions. You just do your 8 and hit the gate. And when I refer to 8, hit the gate, that means just do your 8 hours or your 16 hours and you go home, you hit the gate.
Yeah.
And go home. But like I said, I'm a big firm believer of speaking up for myself, and especially when it comes to money. You know, it's things you don't play with about a man. That's his family, religion, and his money. And so I'm big on money. You ask my family and people around me. So basically, it came to a point where I started working overtime, and I was missing 48 hours of overtime. And I went through the proper channels of asking about the money. My overtime.
Is that one pay period?
Several pay periods.
Over several pay periods.
Yes, sir.
Okay, yeah, I'd say, dang, they worked you one day. They worked you.
But it gets to that point where you can work that many hours because it's short staff.
Is it monthly? How do you get paid?
Bi-weekly.
Bi-weekly, okay.
Yes, sir. So I'm going through the proper channel, going through TNA, which is time and attendance. I go through the lieutenant. I go through the warden. Everybody's spinning me. is nobody has. You're gonna get your money. You're gonna, but my money ain't showing up on my check. And then the way they do the overtime, you got to sign, and then it got to go through several. At the time, it had to go through several chains of command where they had to sign off on it saying that you did the overtime.
How much money were you making at that? How much an hour?
Salary. I came in making $40,000 when I first started as a GS5 officer, and then the pay grade it moves up every year.
How is overtime decided? I guess so. Like, how much 48 hours overtime is how much money?
Man, it could be. At that time, I was making 40-some thousand. Let's say $2,000-$3,000. I'm just
winging it.
Just winging.
I was just kind of curious how, because I usually overtime pays time and a half, but on a salary, I was just kind of curious how they figure that.
Yeah, it's time and a half. Okay. They do it like that, and
I guess they just break it up. They say 40-hour week divided by X, and then that's what we multiply it times.
And then you got your Sunday pay and your night differential.
Yeah.
So all that added into it, you know. And then, you know, I was working towards my birthday and my anniversary, so that's a big reason I'm looking for my money. But long story short, my money, they told me, I go to the war, and he tell me, hey, man, you're going to get your money on this pay period. It's coming. Your next pay period is coming up. So I worked the night shift, which is midnight to 8. I come in, and I go check my bank account. But my bank account, usually my money hits around 1 or 2 a.m., so I'm sitting at my desk. I just finished counting the inmates. I go check my account, and it's just a regular check. So this is where the whistleblower thing took off, started. So I sit at my desk, and I just start sending a bunch of emails out.
I'd have been blowing whistles too.
So, I'm pissed.
You start pre-spending that money in your head. I done bought some things. Ain't no turning
before
back.
You got the money. Yeah, that's exactly what happened. So I'm looking forward towards this money, man. And so I just started sending out a bunch of emails that night, in the middle of the night, you know, and people probably trying to go to sleep at work, you know, and the lieutenant on ship probably trying to wind down or whatever. And, you know, then you get these emails coming to your computer and ding, ding, ding. You know, it's all around the institution. And so the lieutenant, once he got the first couple of emails, he had to call the warden at the home, let him know, hey, man, Chambliss is snapping up here, man. What I need to do with him? So they pulled me off my post and made me sit up at the front lobby for the rest of the shift. And long story short, moving forward, the warden was pissed that I sent some email.
Language.
Oh, okay. I missed something. I'm sorry.
All good.
So the warden, he was upset about me sending those emails out, and because they actually got out outside the institution. They actually made it up to region. And so basically one of the emails stated that, and I went hard on his email. I basically stated that, hey, if I'm this upset about my money, what about the staff member, the officer that's rolling around in this patrol unit, that's rolling around in one of these institutions out here, that's fully equipped with weapons? What if he comes in this front lobby and shoot it up because y'all done played with this man's money? Now, if I'm upset about my money, what about the person that's not saying nothing? And so basically I'm trying to make a real-life scenario about what could possibly happen. And they took that email and took it and ran with it and,
like a threat.
It was a threat.
Yeah.
It was a threat. So that's what they took it as.
See, I don't think it's a reach to mess with people's money and then flip it. We all do this for money.
Uh-huh. Exactly. I mean,
like doing radio, this is a little bit different deal here. It's got to be a labor of love. But if I'm getting up and I'm punching a clock, that is for money. I may like it. I may like what I'm doing. But trust me, if I ain't getting paid, there's other things I could be doing. You know, and I understand, man, you know, because everybody ain't chemically balanced properly. So I get your point. You know, like you're painting a scenario like, hey, that quiet guy over there, you're about one overtime hour from it not being on his check, and he could lose it. We could, you know, you see it on the news every day.
And that's the point I was trying to make. Exactly. Yeah. And so
let's stop right here. We got to take another break. We'll pick right back up here at They Took That Literal.
Okay.
All right. We'll be right back. We got Fred Chambliss here on the radio this morning talking about corruption right in the federal prison system in Mississippi, out there in Yazoo and nationwide. We'll be right back on WYAB. be. Welcome back into the most incendiary show on radio. This is the Clay Edwards Show. I'm, of course, Clay Edwards. We are live on WYAB. This segment brought to you by our friends at Martin's Downtown. That's right, man. Get down there today. Get that, I'm calling it the best blue plate in Hinds County. I don't care what the special of the day is. They're all great. But the what's today, Tuesday, is smoked ribs. And like I said, Martin's ain't just some restaurant that decided they would add ribs to the menu. They do competition barbecue. Like, they go win competitions, and they're bringing that back, that experience back to the restaurant. So try probably some of the best ribs that you can put your mouth on right there at Martin's. And, hey, not a rib person, you can always try the country fried steak. And the full menu is available from the ribeye gyro to the ribeye itself. And they got tons of stuff, po' boys, fish, all that good stuff. Martin's Downtown, check them out online, martinsdowntownjxn.com. Don't forget, they're open from 11 a.m. to 2 a.m., 7 days a week. One of the nicest bars in Jackson, Mississippi. They got that new huge patio right there on the side of the building. Great views, great weather for now. Get over there, enjoy some food, some drink, watch your favorite sports at Martin's Downtown. The NBA playoffs are going now. Great place to go watch it. Great, you know, we don't talk about this a lot, but great diverse crowd in there. It's not, you know, we self-segregate so much around here, and this is just me analyzing here. Martin's ain't that place. Martin's is quite the melting pot of everything Central Mississippi is. I mean, literally, you can go sit at that bar and be black, white, black, white, black, white, black, white, and I think that's a beautiful thing. So check them out online, Martin's Downtown, JXN.com. Check out their Facebook page. My boy Chad Wesley got a big concert coming up there next month. Make sure you circle the dates for that. We'll talk about it more as we get closer. All right, in the studio this morning, we got Fred Chambliss. We're talking about the corruption at the Yazoo Federal Prison. We left off with Fred shot out an email and was painting a scenario that somebody may go postal, as we call it, and they took that as a threat. Fred, pick up there.
Yes, sir. So, yeah, as you said, they took it as a threat, and so I had to sit before a threat assessment committee, which is convened of the warden, human resource, a member of the union, psychologist, AW, captain, whoever they need to have sitting around this table, and they determine whether a threat is deemed real or not. And so I was called into the threat assessment, and I sat there and I told them, and they showed me my email and said, hey, did you do this? I said, yeah. They pulled out that one specific email that I was talking about the weapons and somebody shooting up the front lobby. And I had to tell why did I make that email. And basically I said it was self-explanatory. I'm giving you a real life scenario. Y'all playing with my money. And I said that I'm giving you a real life scenario that quack job, like you said, it rolling there out there in that mobile truck with them weapons. What if you come in here and shoot this front lobby up? And I meant that. You know, that's real deal. I'm probably one of the coolest guys here, and I'm upset. So if I'm speaking up and the ones that's quiet don't never say nothing, they just come and do what they do. So I'm trying to help y'all out because
Rarely is it the loud guy like me and you.
It's rarely, right.
Rarely. I mean, you really, I got, like I said earlier, I got thick skin, you got thick skin.
Yeah.
I let a lot roll off. You know, like when it's us, you know that something doesn't happen. When the loud guy breaks, the dam has broken.
Something has happened.
But those
something
white guys happened. Don't give you no warning. I'm going to give you warning. You're going to know it's coming. I ain't going to be able to keep my mouth shut. I'm going to end up in front of a threat assessment committee.
Yeah.
It's the guy that doesn't end up in front of the threat assessment committee that I'm worried about.
Exactly. And that's my whole thing. That's what I was worried about, trying to help them out. Because during but when I first started, they told us about a time where you had some officers from Office Inspector General that wanted to come to one of the Florida prisons and tried to get a staff member who was dirty, and he actually shot them in the front lobby. So they always played in my mind, and so I'm giving them the scenario that this could possibly happen again. So long story short, they said, cool, you know, because I told him, man, I'm not trying to go to prison. You know, I'm just telling y'all what could really happen. And so I said, I work in the prison. I don't want to come to this piece of crap. You know, I have a family. I have kids. I love my family. So I'm not fit to shoot up nothing. I'm not fit to shoot up. No. So they determined that the threat wasn't valid.
But the warden, because he was in his feelings, he still decided to suspend me for 3 days. And I just told him run it concurrent with my off days. So I had a nice little vacation. And I said, I'll make it up. Moving forward, that was 2016.
So they deemed that it wasn't a threat.
It deemed it wasn't
obviously
a threat.
So they didn't fire you.
No, they right.
But they still suspended you.
Yes, sir.
So what was this? What was the grounds of the suspension once they
deemed? They didn't. He just suspended me. You know what? He said it was inappropriate conduct. That's what they deemed it. It was inappropriate conduct because of the emails, the way I said I was, how aggressive I was. Oh, okay, cool. So that was 2016. And mind you, that same year, my neighbor had a dummy hanging in his driveway. This same time Trump was running for office.
I was about to ask the timeline
here. Yeah.
You know, was it early 16s, before Trump's elected. So whoever's running the Federal Bureau of Prisons, who's Obama put in there. Not that this is really relevant, but I just like to understand.
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah. So the same time Trump was running for office, my neighbor had a dummy hanging from his driveway, and it was hanging from a noose, a black dummy. This is around Halloween.
I remember this one. Now,
yeah.
Now, this is one I saw it. I don't disagree with you on this one.
Okay.
The one from last year I disagree with you on, but this one I don't.
And we're going to get into that.
We will.
Yeah. And so so I already had some heat because the media was out there. And the warden, I guess he was just in his feelings, and he just suspended me. So I ran it with my off days, had a nice vacation, come back. I didn't even know that the union had picked up the case. And basically.
Okay, yeah. Are you a union member at this point?
Yeah, sir. I've always been a union member at the time.
From day one.
Yes, sir.
Is that optional?
Yeah, that's optional.
I thought so. In Mississippi is optional.
Well, yeah.
I guess it's optional other places. But all right, so you're a union member at this point. You're the vice president now, right?
Not yet. Not yet.
Okay.
That happened later on.
No, but right now, currently, right?
No, I'm terminated.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I guess I read the article wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
So I got suspended. The union picked up the case. Filed an untimely lawsuit.
This is for not being paid on the lawsuit, for the overtime.
For the overtime, okay. Yes, sir. So basically, they picked up a case from one of the Florida prisons that were going through the same thing. And so they used their case, applied it to Yazoo City, and we won thousands of dollars by me speaking up. And so, I tooted my own horn. I'm like, hey, I spoke up. You got over 100-some staff members. A lot of them could have got it. A lot more could have got it, but I guess they didn't believe it was real. But the ones who did sign up for it, a lot of them got thousands.
But you got your payback.
I got $7,000 at the time. But you got senior staff members who got 20-some thousand dollars, and nobody bought me a breakfast sandwich or nothing. You know, I was in my feelings about it. I could count on my hands how many people actually thanked me for standing up and speaking up when they were there longer than me and couldn't even speak up. And
yeah, I mean, I guess a bit like the people who didn't speak up or they didn't sign on were scared of revenge, you know, retribution, I guess the better word. And, I guess the life of a whistleblower, right?
Yeah, right.
Like, yep. Everybody's not going to appreciate it. You know, they're scared to pat you on the back. And but, hey, you got yours. They got theirs, so as life goes.
Yeah, and you know, like I say, at that same time, though, I didn't even know I was a whistleblower. I didn't know what a whistleblower was at the time. I was just happy to get a paycheck and some payback. And now, you know, my name ringing a little bit. So, you know, they know that's Chambliss. He going to speak up, you know. Now I got a little respect now. And so moving forward, you know.
Put a little respect on the name.
Yeah. Put some respect on my name. So, but that came with retaliation because moving forward, I didn't get no awards. Awards equal to money. And I wasn't
promotion,
getting promotions. Yeah, I didn't get none of that stuff. And so 2020 comes around. I speak up about them passing me over for promotion and not giving me a award. I put this in an email and sent it out to my union president. And I sent it out to my captain and the wardens. And I told them how basically that y'all were discriminating against me. And everybody knows it. Everybody at this prison know what's going on. Know that y'all openly discriminating against me. And so I put this in the email, sent it up. Nobody responded. Not a one. Nobody responded. So I'm like, wow. So I'm thinking maybe the next promotion that comes, because I'm letting them know, hey, another promotion is coming up, which is senior officer specialist. Hey, I need that. Let me get that. Because if you don't, I ain't saying, but so many words, it's for to go down.
Let me play devil's advocate.
Yes, sir.
Because I'm sure people are probably listening, and I read that in your thing last night. I'm like, all right, well, my question is, are you sure you were the best man for the job?
Yeah. I mean, yes, because I don't mean that disrespectful.
Right. I mean, you just look, and I'm, there's certain parameters you got to hit, right? And you hit them all, and there was nobody that was better that got it. I mean, I'm just asking.
I'm going to tell you the slap in the face, where the slap in the face came at. After I sent that email out, the next promotion board that came up, they had 11 openings. And mind you, the previous two boards, people I was training were getting promoted before me. And I had more seniority than them. And on the senior officer special, you have to be required to work, because I've been out a little bit.
What is it, long story short?
Different posts that you work.
Different positions.
Different positions.
You got to kind of work it to do this next thing.
Right, okay. Right. And so I worked all this stuff, you know, and so I'm training these folks, and they're getting promoted before me. And
is there a union grievance for this? I mean, do they have something where you can complain?
You can, but.
I hate the word complain. I hate complainers, but where you can file a grievance for something saying, hey, this ain't right, guys. I did it. I checked off all the boxes. Clearly, they're upset about the whistleblower stuff.
Yes. And so at that time, I didn't file a grievance because I didn't know nothing about none of that stuff. I just thought the email was going to do it. But when that next promotion board came up, there were 11 openings, and they only selected 10 people. And out of those 10 were three white people that I know didn't do the job. And even with the blacks, I trained the blacks. But what the slap in the face was, at this time, I had 8 years in, and one of the white guys had only 2 years in. 2 years at the time. And so I was like, wow, they really doing this? Like, this how they going to play it? So at that time, I said, you know what, it's time to take matters into my own hands. And being them not responding to my email and them slapping me in my face by promoting the white guys and even the black guys who I had more time, I said, it's time to go to war. At this time, the union had their opening to run for the e-board. And I ran for vice president. And I didn't have no experience in the union. I just a dues-paying member. And so I wound up running for union vice president with no experience, and I ran unopposed. I was the only one who ran unopposed. And so once I took over and got the position and started going to these trainings and started learning a little bit, I was just amazed at the policies that the Bureau was breaking.
So let me ask you. So there was 11 positions. They only promoted 10.
Yes.
So there was an 11th position just sitting out there.
Just sitting out there.
Take the white-black thing off. Yeah. They got to promote both. I mean, you got 30% white, 70% black. I can make an argument about that, you know, if we're going to play the race,
Let's
remove that. But what thing that jumps out at me the most is there was an 11th position that they chose not to fill. Let's take our break right there. We'll be right back with Fred Chambliss here on the Clay Edwards Show. Welcome back into the Clay Edwards Show. Guys, we don't have but about a minute here, so I don't want to get back knee-deep into a serious conversation with Fred about what was going on. We're going to pick it back up after the top of the hour news break here. Again, we got Fred Chambliss on the show. Fred and I have been kind of online arch nemesis, you know, for a while now. Been going back and forth on the race stuff and black and white and seeing things through a different lens is usually what it really just adds up to. And we're going to get into I call it fun conversation. It's tough conversations, fun conversations, whatever. And then we're going to talk more about Fred's situation out at the federal prison there in Yazoo City. Fred had a guy text in a minute ago and said he's really, really glad we're having this conversation because he was thinking about moving back to Mississippi to work there. or to get it, or to get into that. And he's like, oh yeah, I'm having second thoughts now. So good stuff there. Shout out to my buddy Matthew. Thank you for listening. And I think he's in Texas right now. Mm-hmm. So we got folks listening all over the place this morning. Y'all can always stream the show at WYAB.com. If you miss any of it, the podcast will be up and available usually by 10 a.m. Just search Clay Edwards Show wherever you download podcasts, stream music, watch videos, all that good stuff. We'll be right back on WYAB. Boom goes the dynamite. See, I got Fred in here laughing. Maybe we'll tell you what we're laughing about later. Real quick, this segment brought to you by Pure Air Consultants. Look, guys, they're celebrating their 20th anniversary of delivering exceptional heating and cooling systems to Central Mississippi, and they want to offer you a rare gift. How about a free labor warranty for 5 years? I don't know if you've had to get your air conditioner worked on in the last few years, but free labor warranty sounds phenomenal to me. It is those HVAC guys, man, I'm gonna tell you, getting off course here, if I could go back and do it all again, I'd go to HVAC school. I mean, they ain't replacing you with AI, man. You can just about call your number and people are gonna pay it when it's hot enough. Anyhow, look, are you tired of expensive heating, furnace repairs, air conditioning repairs, high utility bills, all that? Specialties that Pure Air Consultants include: heater installation, furnace installation. This is my winter ad here. We need to update this, by the way. Heater repair, furnace repair, heating maintenance. Look, we ain't going to talk about heat. Guys, they can fix your air conditioner. It's about to be hot as Hades here in Mississippi. Give them a call today, or actually start online at mypureairconsultants.com. Ream, a new degree of comfort. Pure Air Consultants. Guys, we're going to take a quick detour here real quick. We have got Kingfish from Jackson Jambalaya on the line, and he is broadcasting live on his way to the Dow Mabel hearing. Kingfish, you there?
I'm here.
How you doing this morning, brother?
All right, traveling down Commerce Street right now. He disappeared. They found his body a few weekends ago, and now the real fun begins, no offense intended, which is everybody's fighting over what to do with the poor guy's body. I mean, you know, a couple of weeks ago, his brother comes into court saying, oh, we don't trust the wife. We don't trust anybody. We want our own autopsy. Now, they got an emergency hearing, and the judge issued this emergency order. But he also asked him, did you tell the other side you were having a hearing today? There was like three defendants, okay, public safety and the wife and somebody else. And he said, did you actually tell them you're having a hearing today? Yeah, we told them. We noticed them. Well, come to find out, everybody starts filing stuff in court saying, no, they didn't. Nobody told us about anything. And we got a few things to say about that. So that's what we're going to have this morning, is a hearing on what they had to say about it. And I've got a feeling the judge isn't going to be too happy, because I was sitting right there when he asked them point blank, were they noticed? Were they told about this? Yes, Your Honor. Yes, Your Honor. And they're all saying, no, we weren't. So this might get interesting today.
Kingfish, what do you think is going on with this thing, man? Is the crime lab going to get involved and do an autopsy and actually figure out what the cause of death was?
Oh, crime lab's doing an autopsy right now, okay? They're doing an autopsy. That's being done. All right. No, I mean, and they're already going to do an autopsy. Judge Thomas ordered them to do one, but they're already doing it anyway. So his brother wants to do his own autopsy, but apparently under Mississippi law, guess who has control of the remains? The wife. And she pointed that out. So that's where it's going to get interesting too, is you got to overcome that part of the law. I'm speculating, okay? I think you got the mayor behind the scenes pushing this little Emmett Till narrative of sorts.
Yes.
You know, and right now, nobody knows what happened to him. Like one person said, oh, he was contusions all over his body. How do you know that? I mean, they had just found the body. They hadn't done an autopsy yet. Sheriff down there in Lawrence County, he didn't do an autopsy. He probably had the coroner just do a quick exam, okay? He didn't have time to do an autopsy, all right?
And as far as
the straight crime lab is probably who would have done the autopsy, huh?
You know, and to your point about the contusions on the body, I'm no dog on this race, but after you floated down the river for a week.
And then I know you got a guess, so I'll let you go, but I'll point out something else to you. Remember about 10 years ago, you had that 17-year-old girl in Madison disappear in the woods, and they found her body. Remember 2 weeks later, remember all that?
I do not.
Her body was so decomposed, if you remember, and it was out in the heat in the summer, they couldn't determine a cause of death, remember?
I'm going to have to refresh my memory on that one. I don't recall.
Yeah, they couldn't. So, I mean, you could have, Sean can tell you, you can have an advanced stage of decomposition where you can't determine a cause of death.
Well, he did mention that exact thing about this particular case. So it's going to be interesting to see what comes from this.
Well,
because
one problem you do have is there's a reason why you have a lead agency on an investigation. What you have right now is JPD is trying to muscle Capitol Police to the side. They're basically trying to do two lead investigations at the same time, and it's not going to work. It's just going to make it harder to determine what happened.
Well, sometimes that's by design, right?
You can wonder if you want to, all right?
I always
anyway,
do.
Have a great show today, okay?
Thank you, Kingfish.
Mm-hmm, bye.
Y'all check out Jackson Jambalaya for all the up-to-date Jackson news. Kingfish is probably the best investigative reporter, journalist in the area. He leaves no stone unturned, so check out JacksonJambalaya.com. We appreciate Kingfish calling in. All right, we got Fred Chambliss here in the studio. Fred, you never know what you're going to get on the Clay Edwards Show. Yeah. You know? Yeah. So let's pick up where we left off. We were talking about getting overlooked for promotions.
Uh-huh.
And a guy, if you're just tuning in, because people are in and out of their cars every 15 minutes, let me reintroduce. We have Fred Chambliss here in the studio. Fred's got one of my little online arch nemesis, but we're here discussing something serious today. Fred is also the whistleblower in the federal prison system here in Mississippi about some things that were being done very corruptly, allegedly, I guess, or has it been confirmed yet?
It's confirmed.
It's confirmed. So Fred blew the whistle on that. We're here today discussing all that. We're weaving in and out of some other topics, some culture war topics too. But we're going to keep it serious here for the next little bit, maybe the rest of the show, just depending on how it goes. But Fred, again, we were talking about there was 11 promotions available. They promoted 10 people.
Yes.
And, you know, and it basically felt like that it was like an FU.
Yeah.
Pretty much to you not being the 11th when, in your mind, you were more qualified than all of them. Yeah. I mean, you checked off all the boxes that had to be checked off. You had done all the pre-work, the preliminary work. And here you are. You had done the post you needed to do, everything, right?
Yep. Yes, sir.
And they just said, not today?
Yep.
And you felt like it was retaliation for blowing the whistle on the back overtime pay.
Yes, sir. And just speaking up in general. I took that, like I said, I took that as an insult. And so at that time, after they didn't respond and didn't promote me, didn't respond to my email and didn't promote me, I ran for union vice president, ran on the polls, went on the trainings. And it was eye-opening, the stuff that I was learning on the trainings. But what really got me was when I came back to the prison. And I was just sitting in the union office, and a good friend of mine, Mr. Ronnie Sims, we were just sitting there talking, and he's very one of the knowledgeable guys that works out there, and he was a union member too, union vice president. But he showed me the policy on a computer.
And this is for the promotions?
No, this is just for everything.
Okay,
just for everything you need to know about policy at the prison.
The handbook, basically.
Yeah, basically. Okay. However you want to write it up. And so once he showed it to me, it was right in my face the whole time. You know, they say you want to hire some black people, just put it in a book. And if you want to put it in a computer, basically it's just talking about, we don't open up the book and read. And sad to say, a lot of us don't. And I'm just saying. And I didn't read.
Fred, most people don't. They read the headline. And they never read the rest of it. You know, and like on the news, not to get off course here, but like news baits you in with them headlines.
Yeah.
And then nobody reads the rest of it. And boom, they say, you know, you just believe what you saw in a headline. It's just like that. I mean, same thing. We don't read enough anymore. Yeah. Guilty. You know, go ahead. I'm sorry.
You're good. And so once he showed me that policy, man, on policies, and it was like I struck gold. Man, I'm sitting there listen, upset with myself because I seen the policies right in my face the whole time. And, man, I started clicking them policies and started reading them policies. Man, I started applying them to memos, and I started reporting stuff that I was seeing, inmate abuse and staff retaliation and whatever else, you know, and them covering up stuff. And whole time writing all this stuff down is I'm vice president now. I'm going in. Man, they not responding to nothing that I'm writing up.
All right, so
nothing.
So you're the union president. And what is your position there at this point?
Senior officer.
Senior officer. And this is at the federal prison. So who are you making these reports to? Who do they go up to that's ignoring them?
The warden, specifically. I'm to the warden, to the captain, and the lieutenant. And I'm CCing the union president as well.
And what kind of stuff are you seeing and reporting? Like some specific
inmate abuse. And basically, majority of it was just staff retaliation.
So like security guards, or prison security. What's the technical word for it?
Correction officer.
Correction officer. Thank you. Sir. Correction officers abusing prisoners.
Yes, sir.
And it was
really the captain. And the captain, like when I tell you that prison is the mafia, it is the mafia. Staff can do the slightest thing as far as refusing an overtime shift. Like we burnt out. We're working 16-hour shifts because we're so understaffed that if you refuse a mandate, which is where they tell you you got to stay an extra shift, despite what you got going on, you got to pick your babies up from daycare, and a lot of us driving 1 hour, 2 hours to the house.
And how – I've always been curious about this kind of stuff. How – surely they got to give you more than a five-minute heads up, right? Like, what's the kind of – like, how far into your shift? Or is your head into the clock? No, you got to stay shambles?
No, you getting ready. You could be heading to the clock. And you can be right there at that grill. Well, we don't clock out, but you can be heading to the door and you get to that grill, they'll lock you in. Now, they're not supposed to, but they'll say, hey, the lieutenant needs you in the office. You right at the grill trying to get right there. Hey, the lieutenant needs you. You go in there, he say, man, I need you to stay. Or they'll call you at your desk and tell you, hey, you up on the mandate list. You got to stay. And a lot of times people refuse because they burnt out.
And what happens if you refuse?
They write you up, and that leads to a reprimand, to up to a suspension.
Then a termination eventually after X amount of. Yeah,
right, right. And so.
Is it like a 3 strikes policy?
Somewhat. Yeah. Somewhat. And that was the thing that I was trying to get to, the double standards. Staff, we call bargaining unit members, which are people who pay into the union, who are protected by the union. You can't do no wrong. But management, upper management, get away with murder.
Let me ask this, because since union is selective service, so to say, it's by choice, do they show favoritism to the non-union people versus, do you see anything like that?
Man, basically it's a lot of kiss butt, you know. It's who you know. It ain't what you know, it's who you know.
Because I'm really, amused is not the word I'm looking for, but for the lack of a better word, I'm always amused by or intrigued by unions, because they have a bad rep. Some of that is propaganda, but I think there's a really good place for unions too.
Our union trash.
Is y'all's trash?
It's trash. It's corrupt too.
Yeah, and that's the problem that I see with a lot of unions is it's corrupt, and it's about the leaders making money, being wined and dined, blowing money on political donations and all this stuff with your dues. But I see, like, the core reason for a union being born, I've done a little research on this, I respect that, and I respect the need for it in certain environments, but, like, everybody's got to be on board for a union to work.
You do.
And it can't be corrupt. We got to take our break.
Okay.
We'll come right back. We got Fred Chambliss. We're at that point. We're going to come right back, pick up where we left off. This is the Clay Edwards Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back into the Clay Edwards Show. Guys, you just heard the commercial there during the break from Men's Health of Mississippi. I had a friend of mine, I won't say his name, but he called me yesterday. He's like, man, I just want to thank you so much for hooking me up with Men's Health of Mississippi. He said, I got my blood work done. I got my bottle of testosterone here in the vehicle with me. I'm going back over there tomorrow to get started. He said they found some things that I really, really had let my health get out of check. And he's like, I just appreciate you hooking me up with them, because I wouldn't have known this if I hadn't gone out there and got my blood work done and sat down and talked to them and really realized that I had kind of let myself go a little bit. And that felt good. That's been my goal over the last year, is to get as many men as possible, especially guys my age in their 40s, get over there, get your testosterone levels checked. It's no cost. They're going to do it for free. What do you have to lose? Your health? You've already lost it. If it's a problem, go over there, get it in check. Are you suffering from erectile dysfunction? I know it's funny to say that. It's funny till it's you. It's funny till it's you. And what about low libido? Your sex drive's gone. Man, you're working out every day and you're not seeing any muscle increase. You're sleeping bad. You got anxiety. Before you go jump off and get on SSRIs and Xanax and all that, man, just run over there, get your levels checked. It could all be your testosterone. It's Men's Health in Mississippi. Check them out online, menshealthms.com. Located right there in Madison, Mississippi. menshealthms.com. Get your levels checked today. Fellas, your wives, your girlfriends, they're going to be sending me Christmas cards after you go get your testosterone right, I promise. Ladies, you're maybe out of check too. Get yours checked as well. They got a women's clinic there in the in-house. It's right upstairs there. menshealthms.com. All your information available there. Fred Chambliss here in the studio with me. Fred, where did we drop off? Where did we leave off there?
Me running for president. No, the policies.
The union's being crooked.
Yep.
The union's being crooked. I guess that speaks for itself. So what happens next?
So as I'm learning these policies and sending these emails up, these memos and reporting stuff, I'm just being completely ignored. And so it got to the point where I was so stressed out that, like, I'm like, man, I need some time off because I'm calling in to work. My blood pressure up. I'm taking it out on my family. I'm sleepy because I'm not going to sleep. I'm driving up and down the highway, falling asleep behind the wheel, stressed out. And
do you feel like you let the we'll call it political side of the job, right? Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you let that overconsume you? Was there ever a point where you're like, I don't mean this disrespectfully, but we ever feel like, man, maybe I should just shut up and do my job and just let these other people fight it out, or maybe it's time to find another job. Did you ever have that, those thoughts? You said they made you feel like you were crazy sometimes. Yes. Or they try to paint you as a crazy person.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes it works. It's like, damn, am I the crazy one?
You're right. They everybody called me Crazy Fred, and so it stuck with me. And but the thing about it was, I'm not crazy. I got all the sense in the world. And what I've come to learn is the tactic of the DOJ is to wear you down mentally. And, you know, by ignoring those emails and stuff like that and not responding, it'll drive you up the wall. And it got to the point where I requested administrative leave to get myself together.
How long had you been there at this point?
At that time, I was in 9 years.
Wow.
9 years.
Yeah, yep. So this ain't like that's a very important part of this story. I didn't take that into account. This ain't like you running some hustle here where you got out there and this is all happening in the first couple of years.
Right.
You know, like I'm a kind of hustle my way through the system here. This is over 9 years.
Man, if you ask anybody that know me that worked out there, man, they'll tell you I was a go-getter. All I thought about was that money, that overtime, because that overtime money is what I lived off of. It took me out of Jackson. You know, not to put down my city, you know, where I was born and raised. But it gave me a new. I bought a house.
You ain't got to explain that to me. I promise. I mean, I got Jackson, Mississippi tattooed on my arm right here. But I don't want to live there again.
Man, not now. So, man, it gave me a new. It gave me a new life. It was. I had a baby on the way. I was able to take care of my family. I got married and started taking trips. I was buying stuff and it was just at the point where I wanted that promotion because the promotion equals money. And
it unlocks.
It unlocks other doors. Right. Yeah. Exactly. So when you pass me up on that promotion, I'm in my feelings. And so, like I said, I'm a fighter and I speak up for myself. And for them to pass me over like that, it took me to another level. And when I get angry, I want you. And so I don't care who you are.
So how much money are we talking about? From where you were at to how much did that promotion, not getting that promotion, cost you?
It was a couple of thousand dollars, but it equaled
month?
Yeah. It just equaled up with the overtime. That's you know, I tell you, I worked overtime.
Yeah,
like
somebody texts on the Guns of Gear text line, by the way, that number 769-241-1944. Somebody texted in and said, it was a salary job. How did he get overtime? And I'm like, well, yeah, but the salary job is based on a contract of working X amount of hours. If you work more hours, they take that, they divide it by, and then
and they
multiply.
Break your salary down. So we come in on the salary, and they break your salary down by hour, but we get hired as salary.
You're being told you got to work an extra shift. You better, you dang well better be getting
some money.
Get paid.
Some people took comp time, but I wanted that money, man. Like, I lived off that overtime, man. That was that money was quite plentiful, and at the time,
that's like cops nowadays. Like, people are like, well, why would you go be a cop? Well, you work for that overtime. Yeah. You know, same thing.
Yeah. Yep. Basically, and so when not paying me my money, I went to war, and I requested. This where it really gets good. I requested administrative leave. They denied my administrative leave and told me the only way I could get administrative leave, I would have to get medical clearance, medical documentation, which I did get that. And so with medical documentation, I went out on stress leave for 7 months. And while I was out seven months, I was at the house stressing and trying to figure out how I'm going to beat the feds because I know they're corrupt. And I'm like, I got documentation and you got a special investigator agent named Jorge Gerardo putting cases on me who's corrupt, who was found guilty of conducting unauthorized investigations on black inmates and black staff and tampering with evidence, all type of corrupt stuff that I was trying to report that he got found guilty of, but I was completely ignored. And the only reason he got found guilty.
Where did they get him at?
They got him on assaulting a staff member. He grabbed a
In Yazoo.
In Yazoo.
Okay, so he's an investigator there.
Yeah, he works for Office of Internal Affairs. He's a special investigator agent.
His maybe if he was like over DOJ and multiple prisons. So it was that Yazoo.
No, just over Yazoo. His job is to investigate dirty staff and dirty inmates, and get to the bottom of it. And so he was the head guy over there, and for some reason he had a big interest in me. Like he really had a hard on for me.
Yeah.
And I was trying to report this guy because he kept putting frivolous cases on me. And then one time it got to the point where I got him red-handed. Like, man, listen, I got you. And so I tried to report this man, and they just completely ignored him. I went to the top of the to his supervisor. Completely ignored. I mean, I tell you, I sent out emails. I'm sending out emails. Completely ignored. Nobody responding to him. So I'm at the house on leave without pay. 7 months without pay. I'm at the house stressed out trying to figure out how I'm going to beat the feds. It was like one day guy said, just tap. It was like a light bulb went off. He said, it was like, study the Bureau. And I said, you know what? Just like a athlete that plays sports will study his opponent. I said, man, you know what? That's what I'm going to do. So I started Googling the Federal Bureau of Prisons. Man, when I pull up the Federal Bureau of Prisons, I see all this corrupt stuff that's been going on. That was happening way before me.
You realize you ain't the only person been fighting this fight?
Yes. And it really got messed up when Jeffrey Epstein was found dead in the cell that he supposedly committed suicide. I'm here to tell you, I don't have factual evidence, but I'm going to tell you, I don't think he killed himself.
Based on
a man with common sense would tell you, I mean, not common sense, but any man with
common sense, you got it right. that's the word you're looking for.
Okay, common sense with eyes. Can see that the story don't even add up when they're putting out.
The cameras just happened to be out. Come on, man.
And he hung himself with a sock. How you get the sock? And he's supposed to have been on suicide watch. Where was the staff?
Let's go down this real quick.
Yes, sir.
Since we got somebody from federal prison experience here, when they put you on suicide watch, what does that consist of?
You being watched by an inmate 24 hours or a staff member for 24 hours.
And what do they take from you? So
everything. You're in a mock. You're in a mock and you have
a big long. Like a potato sack, basically?
Basically a potato sack. And you have a mattress and that's it.
So if you want to kill yourself, you basically have to just run your head into a wall. Hope it works.
They hope it works. But while he was down there, he was in the hole in a special housing.
How long of a sock did he have? Come on, man. I mean, it don't make sense.
It don't.
I'm glad we agree on this. I was worried we didn't agree on this.
I read the
Jackson Advocate article. I'm like, I don't know, man. They left out the whole part about him being in the Clintons' wedding when they said he was friends with Donald Trump. I didn't know. I'm glad we're right on this.
Man did not kill himself, man. And the staff members that were down there were working overtime. They were non-custody staff members. And they never made rounds on Jeffrey. That whole time they were down there. They was up in the bubble in the officer station, on the internet, sleep, doing whatever, but making rounds. They falsified documentation.
But you got one of the most prolific sex traffickers in the history of this country.
A billionaire.
A billionaire. A guy that hangs out with princes, presidents, kings, queens. And you got him on suicide watch, and the cameras don't. Now, I get government incompetency.
Yeah.
That's too incompetent to be. That's too convenient to be incompetent.
Yes.
Period. Yes. Even Trump came out and said, I think something was fishy.
Man, yes. Yes. You know? I'm here to tell you, man.
And he was president at the time.
And based on what they did to me and how they conspired against me, which I have actual proof, and I showed you some of that.
He does. Guys, if y'all are listening, you know, this isn't just some disgruntled employee here. I've read the proof. I've seen the letters from Michael Guest, from Benny Thompson, so on and so forth. This is a legitimate grief here.
Yes. And so based grievance. On how they covered up and retaliated against me, these folks, I'm the first person. Let me tell you something, y'all, if you're listening. I'm the baddest man walking right now. I'm the first person ever in history to put conspiracy charges on the Department of Justice and the Federal Bureau of Prisons. While I was at home on a leave without pay and I studied the Bureau, I said, I know how to get them. After I found out that these folks were just so corrupt, I said, you know how I'm going to get them? The same way they get people that's locked up now behind the walls, I'm going to get them with conspiracy charges. And based on, at the time, too, I had an EEO case going on.
What is that?
Equal opportunity case where filed a grievance with EEO. And they did an investigation. And during that investigation, I got my investigation report. And I dug into my investigation report, and I found so many discrepancies where the staff, the administrator, lied in the report. And they signed their name to these documents saying, under the penalty of perjury, that I declared that all statements that I made are true, to be factual.
Yeah,
I'm reading this stuff, and these folks, I got proof. I got documentation where I'm sending these folks this stuff, reporting stuff, and in an investigation to the investigator, they lied and said a lot of stuff that they objected to, they never got, and which contradicts what the proof that I got. So I'm trying to report that these folks lie and make false statements in the EEO investigation. Completely ignored. So when I came back off my 6.5 months of being leave without pay, I come back to the prison. But instead of me going back to full duty, I'm out going to my psychologist. I'm going to a therapist because I'm mentally burnt out. I'm frustrated. But I knew I had to get all this stuff documented.
What year is that?
This is 2021.
Okay.
2021. I went out April of 2021, came back in October of 2021. Now, this is where it gets interesting.
Hold that thought. Let's take our break. When we come back, we're going to pick up right there when you came back from your leave.
Leave without pay.
All right.
Yes, sir.
This got Fred Chambliss on the Clay Edwards Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back into the Clay Edwards Show. This segment brought to you by our friends out at Guns and Gear, located on Highway 51 North in Gluckstadt at Yandell Road. Proud sponsors of our Guns and Gear text line. You can always text us, 769-241-1944, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It always goes straight to my cell phone. I try to respond as often as possible, but neither here nor there. Get out to Guns and Gear today, man. They got a huge selection of guns. It's obviously, it's in the name, guns. They got guns. They buy guns. They buy used guns. They buy state sales, all that stuff. You got a gun you need to sell, inherited some guns you don't need, holler at Hunter out at Guns and Gear. He'll get you a good price on all of them. You got guns that you hadn't shot in a while, need to get them cleaned up. Maybe you need some Cerakoting done, some gunsmithing. They can do it all. They're your one-stop gun shop right there on 51 North in Gluckstadt at Yandell Road. Give them a shout today. Shop them online. GunsInGearMS.com. Open Tuesday through Saturday. All right, here in the studio, we got Fred Chambliss. We're telling the story of the corruption out at Yazoo. We left off with Fred telling us he had taken a 6-7 month kind of a mental leave of absence to kind of work on himself a little bit. And he comes back, and that's when he kind of decided to go to war. And I got my timeline right here. That's when he decided to kind of start investigating the Bureau.
Yes, sir.
And playing fighting fire with fire.
Yes, sir.
Up there.
So basically, when I come back in October the 7th, 2021,
I requested a reasonable accommodation, and that's basically because I was afraid for my life at that time. I didn't want to go behind the walls due to me reporting, and due to them might retaliate with my life based on the information that I had and the people that it's going to affect.
And people may hear that and think he's being hyperbolic, but you can imagine that could be pretty easy at that prison, put you in a situation, the cameras quit working, and next thing you know, you getting shanked in a shower.
Yeah, exactly. And they don't work. And Yazoo, the cameras didn't work. A lot of them didn't work.
Yeah.
And so, and you're left, you're by yourself working the units.
Like how many men per, how many staff members per at pod the, or like how many correctional
up
officers?
Up to 100 something to per one staff.
Per one staff yeah. member.
Per one
what's
staff member.
What's federal regulation? What's it supposed to be? What do they recommend? What's recommendation?
I can't remember right now, but that's how it normally ran, though.
I'm guessing not one to 100. Yeah. I think we can agree on that.
But at the low, it could be one to over 300 some inmates at a low, because you got both sides. You got 100 some staff. I mean, inmates on one side and another 100 some on the other side, and they got you going back and forth working both sides, and because it's a low, they think that's appropriate for you to work.
All right, I'm going to quit interrupting you. We got about 6 minutes, so
okay.
I'm going to let you go.
Okay, so basically I come back. I reported conspiracy on the feds. I reported five people that I named. There was a special investigator, Jorge Gerardo, human resource, Dewana Ivy. At the time, he was a lieutenant, DeQuantity Lott, Captain Craig Stanley, and Shannon Withers, who was the complex warden at the time. All these people covered up my allegations and complaints, and once I reported reasonable accommodation, they put me in the mail room, and they gave me a memo from Human Resource, which I got 11 days after it was printed up. I got this from the lieutenant who I was filing conspiracy on. I asked him, how did you get this memo from Human Resource? And the memo said basically that I reported hostile working environment and they were going to send it up to the Bureau's EEO office for further investigation. I found out in my second EEO investigation report that these folks never sent it up. They lied.
Well, yeah, and my thing is this. I said I wasn't going to interrupt a lot. Mm-hmm. My thing is this. Why, if you broke policy, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter if you work on the floor or if you're in the mailroom, you're still an employee. Mm-hmm. Well, so what difference would that make if they thought it was a fireable offense that was worthy of a demotion or whatever, mm-hmm. a reassignment to the mailroom, like you a punk or something? No offense to people who work in the mailrooms, but at the end of the day, it ain't where a man's trying to get demoted to. I mean, why wouldn't they just fire you?
Because they didn't have grounds.
They were disrespecting you.
Yeah, they didn't have grounds to fire me.
Trying to push you out.
Yeah, and that's where I'm finna get to. It gets so good. And so after I filed conspiracy, these dummies had the audacity to conspire even after I reported conspiracy charges. I reported conspiracy charges on those five people I named on October 27, 2021. They come up with a story. They did a threat assessment on October 28, 2021, the next day. Called me into a threat assessment, and the human resource lady, the one I was in there, which I did not want to be in there, I told them, why is she in here? This is a conflict of interest. But they said she had to be in there. Long story short, I'm thinking the threat assessment was about stuff that I've been reporting. I'm like, yeah, though, now they want to talk. Man, do you know two of the people that I named in the conspiracy charges? My captain and lieutenant, Captain Craig Stanley, and he's now a captain, DeQuantity Lott. These two people, who are my supervisors, stated that I threatened their life and they fear for their life and they can't go home. They're gonna do something. They just basically turned me into a killer.
Do they have any proof?
No.
This one's on an email you sent.
No.
Nothing.
And so basically, long story short, in the threat assessment, once I realized, because I had my union rep in there with me, Mr. Sims, he sent me, he gave me the paper. I'm reading the paper. It's a threat assessment against me. So, man, I don't remember if you remember the movie Menace to Society with Billy Duke sat there with Kane and said, you know you effed up, right?
Yeah.
You know you effed up, right?
Oh, yeah.
Man, classic. Do you know, I sat back in my chair, I told them, I went off. I said, do y'all dummies know y'all done effed up? This is proving my conspiracy right here. I snapped.
I said, man, not only did I snap, I said, I'm finna drop my EEO complaints and drop a civil lawsuit on y'all. I call them female dogs. I'm dropping it. So they shut the human resource lady said, shut it down, shut it down. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm saying, they write notes. I said, I want it noted that Dewana Ivey shut the meeting down, the interview down, and that's why I didn't want her in there. Fast forward moving, I didn't know they were recording it. They were recording the threat assessment.
Yeah.
And thank God they were recording because it backfired them. Everything that I just told you where I exposed the corruption in that threat assessment, and I told them this is more conspiracy. That same day that I exploited the corruption in the threat assessment, the warden called me in. They shut the meeting down. I got called into the warden. I was escorted to the warden's office by two lieutenants. The warden called me in there. I sat down. He said, effective immediately, I'm putting you on administrative leave with pay. I jumped up. I said, what? You giving me leave without pay? Y'all just denied me administrative leave.
So leave with pay?
Yeah, I'm getting paid now.
Okay.
He's sending me home with pay. And I know we're running out of time, but moving forward, I was at home for 2 years on administrative leave.
With pay.
With pay. And while this was going on.
But no overtime, obviously.
No, yeah, I'm missing overtime. And then, too, we got a 25% increase in pay. So my base salary jumped up to $80,000+. I didn't get to get no overtime with that. And not only that, I got a promotion while I was on administrative leave. The same promotion that I was fighting. Not only that, man.
So it's like they know they effed around.
And found out.
So they're trying to make it right with you. Hey, man, we got you sitting at home making 80-something thousand a year. Don't be soft on us.
But it gets better.
Hold on. We'll be right back. Okay. We're going to have a minute when we come back, so let's make it count.
Okay.
We got Fred Chambliss here with me. We'll be right back. Welcome back into the Clay Edwards Show. We're going to jump right back in, pass the baton to Fred. We got 2 minutes left. Fred, take us home on this, man.
Yes, sir. So basically, I filed conspiracy charges on the Federal Bureau of Prisons, and they covered it all up. I went so far as to, on my one-year anniversary of being paid on administrative leave, I went to the federal grounds, and I jumped on the sign, and I had my whistle on, and I was blowing it, and I'm trying to get the attention of the media and Director Colette Peters, who testified under oath. Director Colette Peters, the new director of the Federal Bureau of Prisons, she was brought in to change the culture and bring the morale up and, you know, get rid of the corruption. And as which Michael Carvajal was the former director, they forced him out. And before he left out, he made a statement that he wanted staff to have the courage to come forward and out corruption, which what I was trying to do. Colette Peters comes in, testifies under oath to Senator Chuck Grassley that she supports whistleblowers, and I called her out on her statement. A month after she testified under oath, I went to the federal ground, stood on the sign, called her name out on live video with my kids recording, and, you know, I kind of regret that because, you know, I didn't want my kids out there, but I hired two camera crews to come out there with me. They bagged out at the last second, so I had to take my kids out there to record. They recorded me standing on the sign, blowing my whistle. I was putting cuffs on the grounds, and they released me. I didn't get locked up or nothing like that. They released me. Still to this day, I was at home. Fast forward, I was at home for 2 years. How many people you know can sit at home for 2 years getting a free check, a full free pre-check, and got promoted and got a 25% increase in pay? But when I did my press conference with the civil rights activist, national civil rights activist, Mr. John C. Barnett, who I saw on TV at the Rankin County Goon Squad, I got him to do a press conference with me, which is now at 10,000 views on my Facebook page. The news media was out there. WAPT and WJTV were out there, and they covered it up. It never was showed on TV. Fred, yes, sir.
We're out of time, bro.
Okay.
Man, thank y'all. Be back tomorrow. Fred, thank you, bro.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.